and tabled. The whole motion isn't even going to come back. I'm glad for this. Now, I know that there are good people who were misled and misdirected and believing this would actually be good for us who homeschool and who go to Christian schools because there would be some small tax credit available for people who earn less than $70,000 per year.
So basically they were saying if you homeschool or put your kids in Christian school, you're getting a tax break since your money's not, you know, money doesn't have to be used for your particular kids.
That's right, precisely.
And you're saying that this was not all good. There was... So what, a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it was the Trojan horse. It was a problem because it did give you that, but it also allowed for betterment of public schools, which is our arch enemy. Any bill that promotes to or purports to want to improve the public school system is a problem. Second of all, it had some built-in welfare redistributive properties where you actually had one class of so-called poor people being benefited and getting a handout. And then thirdly, they purported to try to restore parental control to education, which doesn't need to be restored. And in so doing, they listed off a bunch of regulations that Al Hafer brilliantly pointed out in the Times Examiner. He's a Constitution Party fellow, Dr. Al Hafer, and he pointed out, and so did Julia Kozak, by the way, pointed out that these regulations will start coming on to homeschoolers now, whether it be Americans with Disability Act or health acts, you know, condom use, all sorts of nonsense could be thrust upon homeschoolers. The door would be cracked open for government to move in with a post-PPIC bill to demolish us. It just wasn't worth it. Although I appreciate your good intentions for those who feel badly, I worked hard to get this thing passed who were in the homeschool movement. All I can say is I thank the Lord that it didn't pass because this was a mistake. It was a bad bill, poorly written. Now you have every opportunity to go back to the Liberty Alternative, which I proposed, the SCIFA Act, and push for that one instead. Let's get a true liberty promoting bill and forget about this socialist nonsense, this guise of these little ruses that come through like PPIC from the neocons outside of South Carolina. Well, believe it or not, we're already up to another break time again on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're live from 7:30 to 9 o'clock weekday morning. So if you're listening during that time, we are live. If it's not that time, then you're listening to a recording. Once again, 7:30 to 9 o'clock weekday mornings. The show is live. The call-in number 244-8177. That's 244-8177. 8177. I'm Rippin' Richie, guest hosting this week along with Dr. John Coben, the star of the show. John, let's talk about Social Security. We got an article sent to us by the research staff a couple days ago. And have you looked over this yet?
I did look at it a little bit. Go ahead and read some of the highlights of it.
Oh, okay. It says, whenever Social Security is open for discussion, and that means whenever its inequities and abuses of individual rights are threatened with exposure, defenders of the status quo roll out the heavy political guns. Among their most effective weapons has been the constant reiteration of the claim that, quote, we paid our Social Security taxes, we earned our benefits. This has a ring of truth, provided one avoids being led astray by the word we. After all, we as a society ultimately pay for everything. However, just because it is true for us, viewed as a single collective unit, does not mean it is true for each of us. And that is where the key misrepresentation lies. Now, Social Security, of course, and hopefully no one still believes this, but they would like you to believe that you are taking this money and you're giving it to the government and they're putting it away in a safe place for you. But that actually is not what's going on. I mean, that money, as soon as it comes in, they're using that money to send to someone else, is my understanding. Is that correct?
That's right. There's something called a trust fund, and the money is paid into a trust fund. It does exist on paper, but the money that goes in is immediately evacuated out of there, and in its place is a special treasury bill type IOU that is not marketable. It's not like any other kind of treasury bill, and it replaces it. So there's some piece of paper in there that says, yeah, there's this value that's owed to you by the federal government, but there's actually no money in the account.
So it is just a straight redistribution of wealth scam.
Yeah, there's no difference between it and any other kind of Ponzi scheme, or if you want to just look at it, it's just welfare. There's really no difference economically between Social Security and receiving food stamps or Pell grants.
Well, except that more people pay into it than other federal taxes, because everybody pays into it if they work.
That's true, and some people don't pay for the other things. Yeah, that point is true. And when you say pay into, that's another misnomer, though. Nobody pays into anything. It's just you have money confiscated from you. It's extorted from you through this tax system, and the government spends it on what they want to.
Yep, but if you're Amish, you don't have to pay. And I'm Amish, by the way.
Good thing. Yeah, we talked about that the other day in California. Yeah. Dreaming.
I know, even though I have this Macintosh laptop and electricity and all that, I'm still Amish.
You look kind of Amish to me. It's that hat you left at the door.
If John Kerry can be Catholic, then I can be Amish.
I don't see why not. It wouldn't bother me a bit. Well, that's the Amish, of course, have an interesting story. IRC 403G, Internal Revenue Code 403G, exempts them from paying because they refused to pay. Because being pacifists, it looked really bad when Life magazine had pictures of them being picked up in the paddy and put in paddy wagons by local truancy officers and others who were harassing them for not paying the tax, like the IRS. They decided, you know, these people have their own system. It looks so bad for us. We're losing so many votes in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. We're just going to exempt them from having to pay the Social Security tax, so they don't have to. They don't pay it a bit, that's why Richie wants to be Amish this morning and is Amish.
That's right. I'm Amish. So now, you know, I had, you may remember this, I had James Madison on my radio show.
Mm.
And I asked him, actually we played a cut from President Bush talking about Social Security. And James Madison, by the way, I use a time phone. I have a phone that goes back in time,
mm-hmm.
which is really amazing for someone who's Amish. And I asked James Madison about this, and I played that quote from Bush talking about Social Security. And James Madison couldn't believe that the government was forcing people to put away for their retirement, and he thought that people would be offended that they were being treated like irresponsible children.
Yeah. Well, I'm offended when the government treats me that way. That's for
well,
sure.
I am too, and I think all good people would be. Yeah. But our whole mentality now is that the government is supposed to take care of us, and we see a lot of irresponsibility in America. But if you raise your children and you do every little thing for them, and you never teach them responsibility, they never have to take responsibility, they won't take responsibility. I think it's the same way with the government. When the government tries to micromanage every aspect of our lives, you end up with a generation of people that are very irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
When if that had not been the case, you'd be surprised how responsible people can be. I'm reminded of the verse in Proverbs that he who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. And that's the type of incentive people need, and people need to be responsible for their own actions and put away for their own retirement. And if someone is unable to do that, that's when the church can step in and help.
Yeah, the entitlement philosophy that people seem to have is very troublesome too, isn't it?
Well, isn't it amazing that the people that whine the most about the separation of church and state are the same people that want the state to do the work of the church?
Amazing. Well, you know, this fellow Gary Gallis, who wrote the, he's a professor of economics at Pepperdine University, read the article that you started reading there. At the end, he says, assertions that we paid into Social Security taxes, we earned our benefits, ignore the fact that for millions of recipients, the benefits far exceeded taxes paid, forcibly imposing costs on future generations. We paid in only includes later generations who must get stiffed by not only paying their own benefits, but also the benefits given in earlier to earlier retirees. Yet to frame the issue that way is to distort the central aspect of Social Security. A better rendition would be, we've gotten more than our share already. You pay the taxes to make those overcommitments possible. Let's put the thing in perspective, he's saying. Let's make the Ponzi scheme appear for what it truly is, a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Nothing more than that.
And now with abortion and people not wanting to have as many kids, everything's going to fall over.
Yeah, that's an interesting piece of abortion, isn't it? That you end up having a demise of the welfare state. It's its own undoing in a sense, isn't it?
True. Well, I guess we're going to take a break now. We'll be back with our final segment of Christian Worldview.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Yes, and we're hurling today on the Christian Worldview program with Dr. John Coben. Final segment. Now, did you read this about the gas prices in Maryland? Apparently, there was a gasoline price war in St. Mary's County in Maryland last week, and one station slashed its price down to $1.99, which spurred three others to follow suit, giving drivers some hope of relief at the pump. But the price dip proved fleeting. Maryland regulators, imagine that, quickly stepped in and told the stations that the prices were too low. they needed to go up by 5 cents.
This is called central planning, folks, from the great central planning state of Maryland.
Yeah, imagine that. So the government telling gas stations they have to raise their prices 5 cents. Now, what would be the mentality? What would be the justification for this, John?
Well, there isn't. I don't think there's any justification for it. But
well, from their point of view,
yeah, the public interest idea, I suppose, is that it's unfair competition. That one station is actually going to get more more business than another one, and this is a bad thing. They've all got to be relatively similar because they don't want to have one person taking all the business share away by undercutting prices.
Do they do this with any other product?
Well, I mean, governments routinely do this with all sorts of things, whether it be agricultural products or well, you can name it, you know, whether it be lumber or even in the past, things like gold and silver. There have been price-fixing schemes all along. The reason is they want to supposedly protect jobs, protect companies from going under, and blah, blah, blah. The idea of protecting a business that can't protect itself, it needs the state because the market forces are too hard for it or foreign competition is too stiff. That's the idea, at any rate, the public interest idea.
Now, they're not doing this, of course, with your everyday products you buy at Walmart, except for maybe some, for example, sugar. They do with that they impose like an extra tariff on sugar because of some politics that are being. Well,
that's
played.
Right. We inefficiently produce sugar in Boise, Idaho, and in Texas we have sugar beets. We have cane sugar in Hawaii, but in general. Our sugar is produced here on the mainland in a very inefficient means. Other countries like Brazil or Venezuela and other tropical countries can produce it far cheaper and give a high quality product. In order to protect industries, Americans pay about twice as much for sugar, which ends up going into the cost of just about everything. Ketchup has sugar in it. I mean, it makes everything's price rise. Because of governments bungling with this. Orange juice is the same way. There's a 40% tariff on orange juice. There's a tariff on a quota on how much of ice cream can be imported from New Zealand. I mean, there are thousands of tariffs that the land of the knave is notorious for to protect industry, and it costs consumers thousands a year. You and I spend an extra several thousand dollars every year at the grocery store, if you have a family at any rate. Just because of these ridiculous tariffs that government.
So when we're standing at the grocery store cursing about the prices, we're cursing at the wrong people.
Hey, that's a great way to look at it. You need to look at that government as being the people who have caused you all this grief as far as losing money. Of course, government is good at taking your money. It should be no surprise to you how good the state is at stealing money from you. They're very good at hiding it too. You don't know, it's not just on the 1040 form or the property tax bill. It's all sorts of permit fees and traffic taxes, also known as speeding tickets. There are taxes for licenses, for medallions, you name it.
It's a huge bloated bureaucracy. And unfortunately, our saviors in the Republican Party haven't done a whole lot to put the brakes on it, and especially not to reverse it.
It seems like they're actually increasing taxes, as far as I can tell. I have no evidence that the Republican Party has reduced taxes at all.
Well, I was doing a radio show during the during part of the Clinton administration, during the part of the Bush administration, and I said on the radio that I'm not going to be a hypocrite. And after thrashing Clinton for his domestic spending, I couldn't be a hypocrite by giving Bush a pass on it. And his domestic spending has been equally bad and sometimes worse.
In fact, the federal size of the federal budget is much larger. One thing we can say about the whole 9/11 scenario is that we got the Patriot Act from that, which immensely increased the rights that government have over citizens, but also increased the federal budget by billions and billions, put us into a deficit. Of course, that the Iraq and Afghanistan wars didn't help that. But if just the Transportation Security Administration alone went from having just a few hundred employees across the nation to over 50,000 employees in just a few years' time. Well, this is enormous growth industry for the government, and it's not the only industry in government that's grown. So I'm using industry in a euphemistic sense, obviously. But we've seen the growth of the state immensely under George W. Bush, and that means more taxes.
Well, think about the Department of Homeland Security. This nation was founded in 1776, the Constitution we had in 1787, I guess ratified in 1789. But to think that after over 200 years, with all that government does, Bush is going to come forward and say, we need a department that's going to protect the homeland. Isn't that already covered in the Constitution, protecting the borders and protecting the country? We need another department for that. And if we haven't been doing that all along, something's seriously wrong, because we're doing a lot of other stuff that we're not supposed to be doing.
You sure got that right. And we've talked about that a lot on Christian Worldview, just how bad the Patriot Act is and how bad the Homeland Security Department is and what's really going on. This does, you know, the conspiracy theorists are going to jump all over this and say, you see, George Bush was a great beneficiary of 9/11. He must have caused it. And we've had a number of callers who've been discussing this in recent days. In some ways, I guess the jury's out. All I can say is when I was at Dallas, in Dallas just a couple of months ago, maybe it was last month, actually. No, what was it, March? No, it was April I was there. I went to the place where JFK was shot, and they still have people out in the streets with all sorts of photographs on how the single bullet theory is a joke. I mean, you got to be kidding me. LBJ had to have something to do with this, the mayor of Dallas, and the list goes on and on with all the conspiracy theorists. But it is too incredible to believe the Warren Commission. How can JFK have had a bullet that didn't even get any damage to its physical structure? It's still in perfectly intact. Go through his head, down his back, in through his leg, down his toe, come out of there, then hit Governor Conley in the back, come through him. I mean, it's just preposterous that they would actually want us to believe this sort of thing. I don't see how it could be physically possible for that single bullet theory to have been actually happened. So when I see things like that, it makes me wonder just what is going on behind the scenes. And maybe, I don't know, what do you think about the JFK? We're ending the show here, but what do you think about that?
I've never looked into the JFK thing.
Okay.
Never have.
Well, unfortunately, we're run out of time here on Christian Worldview today. We're not going to be able to discuss this anymore today, but we'd love to take it up again if it's of interest to you. Send us a question or comment by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. questions@policyofliberty.net. You can also give us a call in the morning at 864-244-8177. And again, you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, co-hosted this week with Rippin' Richie Williams, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony